This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyne. Thank you so much for being with us today. You may remember the outcry a few years ago when it was discovered that many of the clothes manufactured for the retailer The Gap were being assembled by child labor in India. Over 100 children working essentially as slaves were rescued from their situation. Eventually, the government of India compensated the released child laborers. But for every well-publicized reform, thousands or even millions of instances of forced child labor go unreported. At the center of the effort to stop illegal child labor is activist Bhuvan Ribu of the organization Bakpan Bachao Andolan, or Save the Childhood Movement. Ribu is in Milwaukee this week to speak on the subject as a guest of the Institute of World Affairs at UW-Milwaukee. He joins us as well. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me here.
It has been illegal to hire anyone under age 14 to work in India for almost a decade. So why does it still happen there so routinely?
There are a number of reasons for that. The first one is public apathy. Each time a child is working, there is someone employing the child because the child is the cheapest form of labor. Secondly, in fact, the law as it stands right now for about 30 years now does not prohibit all forms of employment. It only prohibits employment of children in 18 occupations and processes and allows, in fact, for the rest. So, for example, agriculture is one of the biggest sectors where children are working, and yet children continue to work because it is not outlawed. We have been advocating for this law for about 30 years, and I am happy to say that the law is on the verge of amendment. It is already before the upper house of the parliament, and we hope that children, all forms of child labor, would be outlawed. And that would create a change.
There are many parents in poor rural areas and perhaps urban areas as well that I would imagine look at this not as human trafficking and child labor, but their effort to make things better for themselves and for their children. How do you go into a place like that and begin to change minds?
In fact, in majority of the situations, the parents believe that they are doing something better for the children. But what it is happening is that the parents are being lied to. They are being enticed and deceived, and they are promised that the child will earn a lot of money. The child will, in fact, get an education, vocational skills and training, and therefore the parents, poor and vulnerable as they are, sometimes send the children away to work. Many times the children are themselves being kidnapped for work. So while a child is found to be working in the urban centers, the child is often a victim of kidnapping, abduction, and of course trafficking. And even when the situation is not like that, the parents have been lied to, and by implication, the child is a victim of abduction through deception or enticement. On the other hand, the child is also not working and earning a lot of money. So while the parents believe that the child will supplement their family income, out of about 1,300 children that we have rescued from trafficking and bonded labor-like situations in 2013, we found out that over 70% of the children were working for over 14 hours a day for less than 50 rupees a week. That's about $1 a week for 14 hours a day. So the child is not really supplementing the family income. Children do not work because there is poverty. In fact, there is poverty because children are working. There are jobs. But children will get the jobs, and the same parents will not get the jobs because the parents or demand more money. The children work because they are the cheapest form of labor. And it is a vicious circle of poverty, illiteracy, and child labor or trafficking, because the children will get the job. They will continue to remain uneducated, unskilled. They will grow up to become parents in 10, 15 years' time. And then as parents or as adults, they will not get a job, and their children will get a job. So it will continue like that. The only way to stop this vicious circle is to attack all the three aspects of it simultaneously. Ensure education to all children. That cannot happen unless and until all forms of child labor and trafficking are prohibited and outlawed. Give their jobs to the adults, give their jobs to their parents, ensure that the parents get minimum wage and due wages, and ensure that the cycle breaks.
India's economy has been booming in so many ways. How is it that some parts of Indian society are modernizing so rapidly while other parts, like the attitude towards child labor, have lagged so far behind?
While the people are getting modernized, it does not necessarily mean that they are getting compassionate or they are getting, I would even say, educated on the issues of the evils around trafficking and child labor. In many situations, we come across the urban middle class, which is growing rapidly, being also the market or the destination for cheap labor of children. Although it does not happen as often as it is used to, but we come across really rich people going around malls over a weekend where their 2-year-old child is being taken care of by another 9, 10, 11-year-old child that they have employed at home. People turn a blind eye to that, but society is surely changing. And we believe that it is important for the legal deterrent to also take effect in such a way that people understand that it is not only socially unacceptable, but it is a crime to employ children.
At the same time, how do you go after this issue in places like the United States, where if just about any of us looks at the tags on our clothing, we'll find something that was made in a country such as India, often with child labor? And of course, the costs of those goods come as a result of the labor cost.
I think the consumers in a country like United States have a very important role to play. And the promise that is being made by the company to the consumer is that if you pay this amount of money, I will ensure that there is no forced labor or child labor in my supply chain. So as a consumer, in effect, if you are paying $5 for a particular piece of clothing or $50 for it, the company has promised you that it is implicit that there is no human rights violation. If at all a human rights violation is reported, as a consumer, it is your right, your duty, and as a human being, it is your responsibility to ask the company how they have not managed to ensure that this forced labor is still continuing in their supply chain. And there is a very interesting thing that has happened in the last couple of years. The companies have stopped labeling their products where they are being made. So as a consumer, you would never know which company was employing children. When we are rescuing children, we do not know which company's products are being made. So the companies are also getting smarter, so to speak. But as consumers, you can actually demand and you will get answers to, as companies have a responsibility and the ethical code to adhere to ensure there is no child labor or forced labor in their supply chain.
Do you see a connection in the issue of child labor and child trafficking in India to the other issues over the treatment of women there?
Yes, of course. The majority of children who are not getting an education are going into child labor, and many of the trafficking cases are actually girls. So while a girl is not getting educated and sitting at home, that makes the girls more vulnerable. And I'm not talking of women alone, girls. They are more vulnerable because they are married off at an early age. Child marriage is a big problem in India, although it is outlawed, but it is estimated that over 40% of the girls are still getting married while they are underage. Trafficking of girls is a huge problem. We recently undertook a study and we realized that in India, about 68,000 girls go missing every year. And it is anybody's guess that they are only being trafficked for various kinds of exploitation. When these girls are also getting older, they become the women who are subjected to domestic violence. They are subjected to dowry. They are subjected to all forms of sexual and other abuse. They are not aware of their rights. So education at an early age will ensure that there is no child labor of both boys and girls. Education will also ensure that boys get the responsibility and the understanding of how they are supposed to treat women as they grow older. And education must inculcate the values that are that come with it. And that's why it's important.
Do you have estimates of how many children are underage are illegally employed in India today?
The government believes there are about 4.9 million children that are illegally employed. We believe that the number can be as high as 35 million because there are 35 million children who are out of school and they are of school going age, so they must be employed somewhere.
So that is almost 10 times as many children as the government believes.
8 times at the very least.
Given that these attitudes towards child labor are so pervasive, how was it that you first came around to working to change the way things are?
I was actually a lawyer practicing criminal law, and I came across a study that was being undertaken by my organization on the issue of, at that time it was called Migration and Child Labor of Nepalese Girls into Indian Circuses. And as I started being involved in the research, I realized that although trafficking in India had been prohibited as a fundamental right, there was no law prohibiting trafficking in substantive law. And there was no law as such dealing with the aspect of this trafficking of girls in the circuses. People did not even understand it as trafficking. So that is how I slowly started being involved. And then I gave up the law practice to become full-time activist.
Are there strengths in Indian society that you can capitalize on to go about doing your work?
Absolutely. The society brings about values of perseverance, courage, and peace. The society on the whole has an inherent respect for law and the rule of law. So once a thing is outlawed, then there are no two ways about it. People do tend to follow it. What we are fighting with is an organized crime. And the organized crime is fought in a way that organized crime should be fought, through legal deterrent and all the other actions. But it is only because of the societal values as well as commitments to change that we have been able to do what we have been able to do.
Do you feel that you are already making a difference?
Definitely. We've been able to, in the last 30 years, we've been able to rescue over 82,000, in fact, 84,000 child and bonded laborers along with prosecutions. And we've been able to change policies in such a way in the last few years that the generations that will be coming in India will be much, much safer and much, much more protected.
Well, Bhuvan Ribu, thank you so much for sharing this story with us.
Thank you, Mitch. Thank you for having me here.
It has been a real pleasure.
It's been a real pleasure. And I would just like to say to all the listeners of this radio program that you can make a difference as individuals, as consumers, and as parents. It is our all collective responsibility to treat the entire world and globalize compassion. Thank you.
Bhuvan Ribu is an activist with the Indian organization Save the Childhood Movement, based in New Delhi. He'll speak about child labor and human trafficking this afternoon at 5:30 at the Fireside Lounge in the UW Milwaukee Union Building. A quick break, and in just a moment, we'll learn the little-told national and local story of the Land and Water Conservation Fund. It's Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.